thank everybody for coming today. I will be presenting a little bit different from what has been talked about, cancer. So my topic is completely different. It's about eating. And I would like to acknowledge Dr. McCarthy, my PI, and also Valerie Reles back there. And I have no relationships to disclose. In 2011, the U.S. government released the new dietary guidelines. And this is the new image that is being used. Have any of you guys have seen it or are familiar with it? Good. Okay. Well, so before it used to be the pyramid. So now we're moving on to a different way of promoting nutrition and healthier habits by visualizing what we're eating and the way we eat, it's through a plate. So this was a perfect way to describe that and share that information with consumers. Here are some selected messages that we chose also to use as part of our intervention. And we focus on these three just to make it simple for our consumers, our clients, to be able to follow. Balancing calories, foods to increase, and foods to reduce. Specifically, foods to increase, we really promoted the intake of fruits and vegetables. Making half of the plate be fruits and vegetables, half of our grains to be whole grain, recommending to switch from whole milk to fat-free and low-fat milk. Food items to reduce that also reduce cardiovascular diseases, items such as salt and sodium in foods, and telling people to choose those items that are lower in those numbers. Drinking water instead of sugary drinks such as soda and juice that often in low-income communities are just very abundant. Here are some key things that we focused on, specifically with kitchen and areas that food is readily available. We wanted to have our participants learn how they could make their own home be a healthy place where the healthier choice is the easy choice. We know that having foods that are readily available that are much healthier is going to make it easy to make those positive choices in the home instead of having the junk food readily available. So specifically in the kitchen, we focus on the refrigerator and countertops and having more items that are more fresh, more fruits and vegetables, instead of the chips. And if they did want to have some type of junk food or discretionary foods to hide them, have them behind certain items. We know as humans we are a little bit lazy, so if they're hidden towards the back of the cabinet or back in the refrigerator, we're going to forget about them and not choose those items versus those that we easily see at the very front. We talked about liquid calories such as juice, beer, alcohol, and limiting their use. Kitchen equipment, we encourage people to cook in the home. Just by cooking in the home, we know that they're going to be eating fewer calories. We encourage better cooking methods, steaming vegetables instead of boiling or frying them. Other lifestyle influences that we focus is to keep TV out of the kitchen. Whenever they would eat, we encourage them to eat as a family and not have the TV on. We had exercise equipment out in areas where where they would be ready to be used. And also having a working bathroom scale encourages people to monitor their weight and just be aware of where they're at. Here are some practices that the promotores used. Again, focusing on fruits and vegetables. We encouraged that whenever they were hungry to try to have a fruit or whenever they were thirsty to have strawberries, something that has a really high water content. Encouraging families to eat dinner together whenever as much as possible. Limiting the sugary drinks to more than 3 times a week. Having water or unsweetened tea to guests whenever they would come over. As Latinos in this community, one of the things that you want to be a good host, so oftentimes soda is given out, coffee with sugar, sweetened beverages. So we didn't tell them to completely say no to that, but to at least offer their guests another option in case they did choose to have that instead. With physical activity, aside from the recommendations, we did have them talk to the participants about different choices whenever they go shopping to the grocery store or do a small errand to walk instead of taking the car or taking the bus if it's a walkable distance. Another thing is, as I mentioned already, limiting TV watching, getting good quality of sleep, and also if there was a smoker in their house, to ask them to do it outside or also to encourage them to even stop. So why did we choose community health workers? Community health workers were very important in this project because they were able to translate the ivory tower theory into community practice. They were able to translate and communicate this information that oftentimes academia is not quite able to relate to the community. And also vice versa, the community health workers were able to provide concerns back to their researchers on things that they felt were not working, and also provided their input on solutions to those things. And overall, community health workers are generally welcome into the homes. They're fellow, comadres, tios. So they were wonderful people that they could recognize and call their friend and be able to have a much greater conversation with. And also, overall, community health workers were motivated by a vocation of empowering others. They themselves, empower themselves, but then also they want to help out other people and making them feel that they do have the strength to make changes within themselves and their families. So here is an example of what a home visit would look like. Here, I'm the dietitian, and to my right is Rosalba, who is our promotora. And in this particular home visit, we discussed about the MyPlate and different food choices that they could create using this plate. Specifically, we would ask the participant to pick items that they would generally eat and create their own meal. And then from there, have a discussion about why did they choose those foods, come up with alternatives to the food choices that they had, and then also talk about if there were any concerns that they were having for themselves or for their families, and create this dialogue of just choices and having that information available to themselves and their families. Here we use the traffic light system, in which is basically coding different foods based on their nutritional value. The go foods would be labeled green, basically fruits and vegetables, whole grains. The yellow items would be the slow codes, which would be those that we could eat but not as often. And then the red items would be the whoa, those that we should really think about. Should we be eating these every day, every so often? So this was a really great activity to work with little kids and families, because then they got to kind of figure out what they were eating and kind of seeing, okay, maybe there's too many red items or too many yellow ones. And it was just a visual activity that got them to think about what they're eating and the changes that they would like to make as well. Here we have an assortment of items, and this was one of the first home visits. So here we see that there's quite a bit of reds and yellows. So by the end of the 1 year intervention, we hope that these items turn more into the green ones and more into the yellow ones than the red ones. And also oftentimes a lot of people, when they did this activity, they got to learn a little bit about how to read the food label. Oftentimes they don't realize the content of the foods and how much sugar there is in items, how much fiber there are in things or not in things. So this was a great activity for them to realize what kind of items they were purchasing. Also, we encouraged to have items outside visually to remind them of doing physical activity. Here, we also provided in this intervention what we called the gym in a bag, and we gave them a stretch bands, a working bathroom scale, a pedometer, and kind of like a manual which gave them tips on how to exercise at home and healthy eating tips. And basically, this was to provide them another resource for doing exercise in this area that may not necessarily have a walkable a park that's nearby. In this area, this was a low-income housing, so it was just a bunch of buildings near a warehouse community. So it was very difficult for this particular person to go to a park and take her kids there. So this was a way that they could exercise in the home if they felt that they didn't have time in the afternoons right after they got from work. So it was just a way for them to get active inside. Just to go a little bit more on how the home visits went, overall, the promotores were warmly welcomed. When they were there, they would work on an individual level with their participants, and they would create an action plan of the things that they wanted to change, and everything kind of came from the participant. The promotores really emphasized that you know, in order for change to happen, is that they have to be ready for it. So we used handouts and resources that were already readily available. We used Champions for Change. We did the sticker activity and also the gym in a bag equipment. The second home visit, the promotores reported that there were less TVs seen in the homes. They were recommended to either take them out of the kitchens, put them, you know, somewhere else, or not even have them at all. And also in the second home visit, we reinforced the stickers. If they were family members, we would also encourage them to take part on this this activity. And then also was that this was an opportunity for them to talk with their participants on what other concerns they had on making these changes. Another component to the intervention was 6 group education sessions. The information varied from exercise, label reading, advocacy. We did a supermarket tour, shopping on a budget, healthy cooking tips. And I think this is one of the key things that participants expressed that they liked a lot, is having that group dynamic and be able to do things interactively. So one of the key things that the promotores helped us with is identifying convenient times for when participants could attend these classes. They expressed that weekends definitely had to happen, so we held classes on Saturdays, evening classes. Many participants wanted their families to come, so the evenings after their husband would come or the kids, they would go ahead and bring them in the evenings. And then sometimes when all of those times were not convenient, then they would hold a smaller session during the daytime. Also, we did telephone coaching sessions in which they talked with the participant over the phone for about 10 to 15 minutes. And the promotores expressed that it worked best with those participants who were willing to engage and actually lead the conversation and providing their input. And it didn't work so well with those that seemed to be working or were on the road and were just on the phone, just passive listening. And the promotores, you know, they expressed frustration that, you know, they were trying to ask open-ended questions, but somehow at that moment it wasn't convenient for the participant to really be listening, and just didn't quite work well. Also, with these telephone calls, the promotores were really great. They were very flexible with us. They talked on the phone on weekends, on evenings, during, you know, early in the morning. So we did try to work with our participants in order to get the information to them as much as possible. And overall, the community health worker said that their participants enjoyed the classes. They were also appreciative of them for taking their time to discuss not only about nutrition, but about other topics. Some people wanted to learn about low-income housing, how they could learn about that, or how they could get other resources. So the promotores would, you know, would go out of their way to find those things and, you know, provide that information, which at the end really helped to create a great bond with their participants and be able to retain them in the study. We felt that the community health workers were, you know, the bridges to academia and our principal investigators in imparting this information. And as I mentioned, you know, they were in particularly helpful in retaining participants who would, you know, would have dropped out. You know, it was a long commitment, 1 year, different educational sessions. Not only that, but we had a clinical component to it where they would have to come and do questionnaires, lab work. So it was quite a bit, and I think that relationship from the community, the promotoras, really helped to keep participants motivated and come back to us and, you know, do a follow-up. And overall, we think that, you know, community health workers are very important in implementing community-tailored health promotion interventions.